want to begin today by telling a story that Stephen Covey shared in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. It goes like this. Covey says, one Sunday morning on a subway in New York, first of all, I was wondering why he wasn't in church. Maybe he was going to church, but all right, I digress. So he says, one Sunday morning on a subway in New York, people were sitting quietly. Just picture this. Some reading newspapers. Some were lost in thought. Some resting with their eyes closed. It was a calm, peaceful scene. Then suddenly, a man and his children entered the subway car. The children were so loud and rambunctious that instantly the whole climate changed. The man sat down next to me, Covey said, and he closed his eyes. He was apparently oblivious to the situation. The children were yelling back and forth, throwing things, even grabbing people's papers. It was very disturbing. And yet, the man sitting next to me did nothing. It was difficult not to feel irritated. I couldn't believe that he could be so insensitive as to let his children run wild like that and do nothing about it, taking no responsibility at all. It was easy to see that everyone else on the subway felt irritated too. So finally, with what I felt was unusual patience and restraint, I turned to him and I said, "Sir, your children are really disturbing a lot of people. I wonder if you couldn't control them a little more." The man lifted his gaze as if to come to consciousness of the situation for the first time. And he said softly, "Oh, you're right. You're right. I guess I should do something about it. You see, we just came from the hospital where their mother died about an hour ago. I don't know what to think. And I guess they don't know how to handle it either." Covey says, "Can you imagine how I felt at that moment? My paradigm shifted. Suddenly I saw things differently. And because I saw differently, I thought differently, I felt differently, I behaved differently. My irritation vanished. I didn't have to worry about controlling my attitude or my behavior because my heart was filled with the man's pain. Feelings of sympathy and compassion flowed freely." And Covey responded to him. He said, your wife just died? Oh, I'm so sorry. Can you tell me about it? What can I do to help?" Everything changed. In an instant, in a moment. The title of today's message is Live Outside the Bubble. It's about making right judgments. This is a message that the Lord has been stirring up with me for quite a while. It's a message that the Lord is going to challenge us with. It might offend a few of us in the room, but that's not always a bad thing. But I know this is God's heart because we hear it, we see it, we know it from His Word. And it's His desire for our lives to live outside the bubble. And I want to go directly to the words of Jesus, the one whose name we've been exalting all morning. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus said these words. He said, "Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment." Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. In other words, Jesus is telling us to stop judging people based on what we simply see and what we feel. Stop judging people based on what the world is telling us to think about one another. Stop judging people based on what we hear on the evening news. Stop judging people based on mere appearances. It's time for God's people to make right judgments. And I'm here to say we don't always make right judgments. But Jesus is calling us to make right judgments. It's time for God's people to look at all people the way God looks at them. It's time for us to live outside the bubble. And so what is this bubble that I'm talking about? But here's what this bubble is. The bubble refers to the confines of our small world, that narrow segment of society that we personally connect with, that relatively limited perspective that we listen to and that we embrace. That's the bubble. The bubble is our own virtual reality, what we're familiar with and what we're convinced is right. That's the bubble that we're talking about. The bubble is created by our culture. It's created by our experiences and by our upbringing. We start seeing a bubble created based on stereotypes and public opinion, based on conventional wisdom, personal prejudices. This is the bubble that we're talking about, that Jesus, as we're seeing here, is calling us to live outside of. See, the bubble is that small, little, tight world where we make judgments about others based on our personal preferences, based on our perceptions, based on our past, based on our political party, based on our prejudices. That's the bubble that each one of us can find ourselves in. And here's the deal. We all have a bubble. You have a bubble, and you're living in a bubble. Your world. You're living in it. That place that you feel is safe and comfortable. Where everyone thinks the way you think. Talks like you talk. Looks like you look. Oh, it's so comfortable. We all have a bubble that we're living. But when we restrict our lives to the confines of our bubble, we find ourselves falling into the trap of making wrong judgments about people. Specifically, we make the wrong judgments about the people that are outside of our bubble. So what happens when we live inside our bubble? Let's look at Proverbs 11:9. Proverbs 11:9 states that with his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous escape. So when we live inside the bubble, we find ourselves making wrong judgments about people outside of our bubble, and then we begin opening up our mouths and talking about them and ultimately destroying our neighbor. See how this works? It's the complete opposite of what God called us to. It's interesting. You know how it is when you get a new car and then you see that car everywhere that you drive? So I just bought a used Ford F-150 recently, got rid of the old 2002 Suburban. I know I was just bragging about it, that it kept running, but oh boy, it was time. And so I have this white F-150. It's a 2011, right? And now I see it everywhere. It's like there's about 20 of them in the church here alone. I mean, everybody drives a, Phil has one. I mean, everybody drives a, Morgan Cianci has one. I mean, they're all over the place at a Ford, white Ford F-150s, right? Well, so I've been processing this whole bubble thing and making right judgments and all of this. And I've been wrestling with this and getting excited about it for quite some time. Well, this week I heard somebody make this statement. They were quoting Martin Luther King Jr. He said, hate has to be taught. To me, that's a picture of the bubble. Hate, people teaching hate, creating a bubble for them to live in or for their generations that follow them to live in. And I would say the opposite is true. Love also needs to be taught. Needs to be taught. So back in the day, there were a group of people called the Samaritans. They were neighbors of the Jews. But because of some difficult history, because of some unfortunate circumstances, because it's just hard to live around people that aren't like you. I mean, it can just be difficult, and the enemy loves to use that. Because of some bad blood that got stirred up at some point way back in the day, what happened is that the Jews began to refer and think of the Samaritans as the worst people on earth. It says that. It talks about that in John 8:48. Jews actually referring to their neighbors as the worst, dirtiest, yuckiest people on the planet. And they would have this motto, stay away from the Samaritans. I mean, they taught their children from generation to generation, based on whatever it was back in the day, to stay away from the Samaritans. That was the motto. That was just the way of life at that time. They not only spoke unkindly of one another, both Jew and Samaritan, but both cultures passed down this hate. They passed down fear and really racism because of how they spoke about one another and to one another. They were creating these bubbles that they both lived in. And the people outside of their bubble were the worst people in the world. And they taught their children that, and their children's children, and their children's children's children. And it was nasty. This kind of stuff goes on today. People living in their bubbles, destroying their neighbors. Look at the hatred that we saw that happened between the Serbs and the Muslims in Bosnia. It was brutal. It was ugly. Look at what happened with the Catholics and the Protestants, even in Northern Ireland. It's nasty. It's brutal. I was watching a movie last night with my family called The Promise. It took place back in the early 1900s, just before World War I, when the Turks nearly exterminated the Armenians. It was horrible. It was nasty. What a culture can do, what can happen when we create bubbles. We start making judgments of those outside of our bubble. The recent rhetoric surrounding the relationship between law enforcement and the black community. That's bubbles. That's our culture creating bubbles and having people making wrong judgments about one another. And it's harmful. It's hurtful. It's just wrong. And then the stereotyping and the politicizing that's seriously harming the relationship with our neighbor, Mexico. It's alienating the Hispanic community right here, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, even right here, because we're allowing the enemy to create these bubbles, and we're allowing ourselves to live in these bubbles right here in our culture, on our watch, in our time right now. And it's not the heart of God. It's not the plan that God has for the church, even for the world. Making wrong judgments based on ignorance. So what do we do? How do we stop this insanity? Proverbs says that the escape is through knowledge, through knowing God and knowing our neighbor. Let's go back to Proverbs 11:9. So with his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor, but what? Through knowledge, the righteous escape. You see, we can escape from our bubble. We can escape from this madness. We can escape from being played by the enemy and hurting our neighbor. And we can escape from that and actually do exactly what Christ came and did and has called us to do and love our neighbor. Not living in our bubble, but busting out and loving our neighbor. But it comes through knowledge. Now, let's go back to the Covey story with him on the subway on that Sunday morning, okay? Because Covey lacked understanding, what did he do? Initially, he made a wrong judgment about this dad and his children because he didn't have knowledge. But he changed his perspective from blaming to actually blessing the man when he gained knowledge. When he understood the situation, and how did he get understanding and knowledge of the situation? He talked to that man. He engaged. He did life with that man. And after talking with him, getting to know him and understanding his reality, his story, everything changed. Again, from blaming to blessing. I propose something. I propose that unless we have a personal relationship with somebody, we really don't know them. And if we really don't know them, then we better be very careful about making judgments about that person. I mean, really careful. Slippery slope. We could easily then fall into that trap of opening up our mouths, and like the godless, bringing destruction to our neighbor. And we know that destroying people is not God's heart. Encourage one another and build each other up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know what? And the second most important thing in this whole world that you can ever do is like the first, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself. Not to judge your neighbor, but to love your neighbor as yourself. So what does it look like to live outside the bubble? Here's the best example I have, Jesus. How many of you like that example? Jesus, right? Jesus. Jesus lived outside the bubble. Look at the makeup of the people that Jesus ministered to. I mean, check this out. Jesus ministered to the poor and the rich. Jesus ministered to the free and to the slave. He ministered to both men and women, to Jew and Gentile alike. Jesus ministered to the young and to the old. He ministered to the sick, the dirty, the sinner, the lost, to the outcast. Look at where Jesus went. Take, for instance, that infamous woman at the well. Okay? This is where Jesus would go to minister, to bring the kingdom of God. Who was this woman? She was a foreigner, first of all. She was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. He said, I'm not playing that bubble game. She needs me. She needs what I have. She needs the kingdom of God. I'm not playing that bubble game. She was a sinner, a known adulterer. I mean, her reputation, everyone in the community understood what her flaws were, what her life looked like. Jesus went. She was a woman, and that wasn't supposed to happen. Jewish man going and talking to a woman like that? No. You're not allowed to go outside that bubble. Can't do that. Jesus busted through bubble after bubble. Society said, don't go there, Jesus. Even his faithful, loving disciples said, don't go there, Jesus. What are you doing? Don't you understand? You're supposed to stay right inside of this, right here. You aren't supposed to go out there. You're not supposed to cross those lines. You got to play within the lines. Stay within your box, Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to have nothing to do with that. I'm going to do what I always do, and that's what my Father tells me to do, and I'm busting outside of this box. You're not going to hold me back. Society won't hold me back. All the twisted things that you've learned over the years from generation to generation aren't going to control me. I'm going to go to this person who's fearfully and wonderfully made, who needs me and everything I have. That's what I'm going to do. Jesus didn't live inside the bubble, and neither should we. We're his representatives on earth. We are Jesus here on earth. His witnesses. His ambassadors. Jesus didn't even let the bubble, all that religiosity, keep him from healing somebody on the Sabbath. That was another bubble that he was supposed to stay inside of. And he said, uh-uh. I'm not playing that game. I'm healing this person. They're hurting. People are more important than your rules. I'm going to take care of this person right now. I'm going to give them what I have. I'm going to give them what I have. Now, I know I just busted outside your bubble. And I know you hate me for that. But I'm doing the will of my Father. Jesus shows us that living outside the bubble means that we get personal. He didn't talk about the woman at the well. He didn't just ask about her and then make judgments and give a prescription on how she should live and what she needs to do now. No, he got personal. That's what Jesus did. When we live outside the bubble like Jesus, we break through the stereotypical barriers of our broken society and the religious spirit. And what do? We go and we talk with people. That's what we do. We go and we talk with people, but they're dirty, but they're sinners. But what are they going to say? What? We go and we talk. We be like Jesus. We make it personal. And when we make it personal, that's when miracles begin to happen and God's kingdom actually starts to advance when we get personal, when we go face to face, when we go outside the bubble. Let me share with you about a recent mission trip that I took. The mission organization that I was with last week on this mission trip was the Arizona State Legislature. And I know that doesn't sound like a mission organization, but it was. They're the ones that invited me. They're the ones that gave me the microphone and the platform to bring the kingdom of God, the prophetic word of the Lord, and the name of Jesus into every one of those gatherings. They were the sponsoring mission organization that I was with last week, the Arizona State Legislature. Republican and Democrat alike, 50-50. And then Pastor Eric and some businessmen. Let me tell you what the mission was of what we were called to do on this delegation to Mexico. Here's some pictures. You can just see some of what happened there. Here was the mission. We need to know each other. If we're going to make decisions and policies that affect each other, then we have to first know each other. That was really the mission. The whole mission here was representatives from Arizona, real people that were making decisions about us here, getting to know real people, the elected officials, the real people that were making the tough decisions for the people in Mexico, and for real people to get to know real people so that when we start making decisions about leading our state or them leading their nation, that we do it based on real relationship and not rhetoric. That was a word the Lord gave me. It's time to move beyond rhetoric and start investing in relationship. And that's the mission that happened last week in Mexico with this delegation from the Arizona State Legislature. I just want to let you know something. So every one of the meetings, the big gatherings, I mean, look at some of these meetings, man. They had these tables. This was like crazy. Anyway, they would invite me to pray. I thought they were only going to do it the first time. I figured, well, they did the pastor thing. They would just think, great, we did it. We're done with that. We don't need to do that anymore. But on the bus ride with all these folks on this bus, we're driving to the next big meeting. And the Holy Spirit just said, Eric, do you have a word? Do you know what you're going to do? I'm like, they're not going to ask me to pray. They're not going to ask me to do anything. He said, be ready. And so I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I need a word. He gave me a prophetic word for that gathering and the scripture that accompanied it. I spoke that word over that meeting, declared that scripture, and then prayed into it. Some of the most amazing things began to happen. Keynote speakers from both countries that were talking referenced the prophetic word and the scripture that I gave. It was like the Lord was setting the table for these meetings, and he was making sure that his plan and his purposes were going to be established in and through this. It got crazy. It got amazing as God was moving in and through this. But anyway, so the mission, though, was that we would know one another, that we would get to know each other so that we could make right decisions about living as neighbors and interacting as neighbors, Arizona and Mexico. See, we got to get beyond the political rhetoric, beyond the evening news, and beyond the social media pontification. I mean, we got to get beyond Facebook, folks. And we got to start actually talking with people. People that are outside of our bubble. We got to get outside and make right judgments. So what did we do on this mission trip? We talked with each other. We ate with each other. We laughed with each other. We talked about things that were working in Arizona, things that were working in Mexico. We started planning things. Now they're coming in January. They're sending a whole delegation to Arizona, and we're going to do this here on our side of the border, and we're going to continue to develop our relationship. And as we do that, good things are going to come from it. Really good things. The stereotypes began to crumble, replaced by a foundation of friendship. The enemy hates friendship. As a married couple, for those of you who are married in here, the enemy hates it when you like really are talking with one another. He hates it when your hearts are knit together. He hates it when you're like on the same page about life, about your relationship, about your children. He hates that. And so what does he do? He tries to pull you apart. He tries to get you not to talk. He wants to get you on opposite pages. The enemy's doing that everywhere in our world today. As we start to gain knowledge through relationship with one another, we break the power and the plans of the enemy. Unity is powerful. Talking to one another is powerful. Not talking about one another, but talking to one another. I made this statement in my notes here, and I'm going to read it. Thought this week, if the church, or really any of us as believers, if the church, though, finds itself in a season where we're ineffective, where we're insignificant, then I believe it's because we've chosen to live inside the bubble. Think about that. How effective can we be if we're living inside of our little church bubble, where everything's comfortable and clean and sanitary and familiar? I believe the big things of God are found outside the bubble. So I want to ask you something personally right now. I told you this might get personal and hard. Are you only doing life with your safe group of friends who think like you? If you are, you're living inside the bubble. You're missing out on so much of what God has for you. Jesus has shown us a different way. He says this in Ephesians 5. We're called to be imitators of God. He says, therefore, as dearly loved children, and we're called to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I want to close with, I believe, one of the keys to living outside the bubble. And that is humility. Living outside the bubble requires humility. It says in Philippians 2, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then the ability really to consider others is kind of like a preamble that the Apostle Paul uses in this passage of Scripture to show that we're really identifying with Jesus. Are we living for others? Are we thinking of the interests of others? Humility requires us to put down the mirror and to actually look around. Christ-like humility means that we're going to have empathy and compassion for others. Not looking how we can judge them and throw them under the bus and try to make ourselves feel better because they're all messed up. Because they don't think the way we think. They don't act the way we act. No, but have empathy and compassion for them. Generously understanding the struggles and the faults of our neighbors. Like Covey, once he understood the issue that this man and his children were going through. I mean, we got to know. We got to understand what our neighbor's going through. The world is hard. It hurts. And people are hurting out there. And people need Jesus. And we're the ones that are called to bring them the love of Christ. To be there for them. Humility is what leads us outside the bubble. It's emptying ourselves of ourselves. And putting others before ourselves. It's being willing to forego the comfortable family night at home every single week where you just feel the warm and fuzzies, parents, because you got all the kids around you and it just feels so good. And to take your kids out where people need you and need their help too. Serve others. So many examples of how we can get outside the bubble. But it takes humility, thinking of others, going to others, loving others at your own hurt even. Isn't that what Jesus did? He loved us at his own hurt. I want to tell one more story. It's been on my heart. Not going to use the person's name. So it was the week after the elections last November. Can't believe it's almost been a year. Praise God. Anyway, that was a crazy season. Man, so many emotions that were happening. I went out to lunch with a friend of mine, Hispanic brother in the Lord. And I was sitting with this friend and I said, man, And he's a conservative Christian man. And I'm like, aren't you just so glad and happy, you know, that the election turned out the way it did? And but he said, yeah, Eric, I am. And I was sitting across from him. I was looking into his eyes when he was answering me. And I'm like, I don't believe him. He's saying, yeah, I'm glad, I'm happy about what happened. But there was something disturbing within his soul that was going on. And I said, what's going on, man? And he just poured out these emotions and these feelings that he's dealing with because he's Hispanic. And while he's excited that a pro-life person was elected and all of this and so many other wonderful things, he's extremely concerned and emotional about his own family, his own community, the Hispanic community that we're living with right here as neighbors. And all everything shifted in me. I'm like, what's going on here? I had no perspective, no clue of what he was dealing with. I thought, man, we were on the same page, but he had a reality. He had something that was going on in his life. And the only reason and the only way I understood it was talking with him. Like face to face, like person to person, with a heart that was open and concerned for him. We have to get outside of our bubble. We got to talk with people. We got to do life with people. We got to understand what people are dealing with. You think you understand the world. You think you understand reality. You don't. I'm going to burst your bubble right now. You don't have a clue about all that's going on in the world and all that's going on in the hearts and the lives of precious people that Jesus stepped down from heaven and gave his life for. But we're called to know, we're called to care, we're called to go. We are. Here's what Scripture encourages us. This is our response. Proverbs 31:9, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Hear that? Speak up. So I hang out with a lot of conservatives. But I'm speaking up for my brothers and sisters in the Hispanic community right now. Real people, real families. It says this in Leviticus 19:15, do not pervert justice, do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Matthew 7:12, Jesus says, so in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And then, again, the way of Christ that we find in Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through the towns. And the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Jesus didn't have judgment for them. He didn't distance himself. He went to them and he had compassion on them like sheep without a shepherd who were helpless and harassed. Then he said to his disciples, and that's us. This is what he's saying to us even now. The harvest is plentiful. There's a whole lot of people inside our bubble, but a whole lot more outside our bubble. And the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the Lord of the harvest, therefore, is saying to send out workers into the harvest field. Send them out of their bubbles, out of their safety nets, to those that are hurting and needing, that are drowning. Our response has to be like Christ. We got to live outside the bubble and we have to go. Compassion, care, love for people. So I have a call to action. You know, I like to do that. I've been wrestling with this now for, man, a year or more. And the Holy Spirit is calling me to action. I'm developing friendships with people outside of my bubble. Not just playing games, not just talking about it, but developing real friendships. And it's rich and it's exciting It's exhilarating to expand my bubble. I love that my bubble is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and expanding. I love that it's popping at times and I'm able to get out. It's so exciting. It's so rich. We miss so much when we live in the bubble. So I want to call you to action on this. What can happen with hundreds of people actually getting outside the bubble? What can happen in our community if the church actually is the example of living outside the bubble and talking with our neighbors and becoming friends with our neighbors? Some of my best friends from that trip are Democrats. They run up to me. They give me a big hug. Pastor, I mean, it's beautiful. Get outside of our bubble. So here's what I want to call you to. I want to ask everyone to stand up, first of all. And I want to ask you to purposefully spend time with someone outside of your bubble. By the end of this month. It's the beginning of the month. You got plenty of time. You got 3 weeks. 3.5 weeks. I want you to purposefully spend time. Have coffee. Have lunch. Whatever it might be. Figure something out. Identify somebody outside of your bubble. Pay for their coffee, please. And or their lunch. And get to know them. Ask them about their family. Guarantee you're going to have opportunities to bless them with prayer. You're going to have plenty of opportunities to bring Jesus into that relationship. If you're willing to answer this call, then I'm going to ask you to step out and to come forward. I seriously am. I want to ask you to come forward. I want you to step out and come forward if you're willing to answer this call. It takes some time. It's going to take maybe rearranging your schedule. You're going to have to really think about who is outside of my bubble. Maybe somebody who doesn't look like you. Maybe somebody who didn't vote like you. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe it's somebody that you have to pick up to take them to coffee because they don't have their own transportation. I don't know. This can change our community. I'm serious. This right here can change our community. This right here can be a louder voice of the gospel of Jesus Christ than any sermon that's preached in the four walls of a church. You going out of your bubble and actually getting to know new people that don't look, act, vote, and all everything else like you. Oh my goodness, this is beautiful. Lord, I just thank you right now, just for those who've come forward, even right now. Lord, I ask, and Holy Spirit, I just say, would you release divine appointments? Would you put on the hearts and the minds of every person who stepped out here, the person that you are calling them to meet with, that you're calling them to reach out to, that you're calling them to befriend and get to know and pray for and enjoy. God, I ask that you would do that. Holy Spirit, give us understanding. Give us the name, the face of the person. Maybe it's somebody at work, at school. Maybe it's somebody that lives across the street. Maybe it's somebody that comes into your place of work. Oh, God, would you just show us who that person is? And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you guide us and direct us. And I thank you that your grace, Jesus, is all we need to step outside of our bubble. And we do not fear, we don't worry, but we do it with excitement because we know that the things of the kingdom of God, while they can feel dangerous, while they can seem messy, they are exciting, they're exhilarating. They are where you live, God. And so have your way with us. Bless these new relationships, these new friendships, for they truly will glorify you and they will declare the goodness and the love of our Savior Jesus Christ. Y'all ready to say amen to that? Amen. 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 Amen.